It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Before the Munich Olympics 4 decades ago, when Palestinian terrorists stormed the athletes' village and killed 11 Israelis, such an attack on a sports venue seemed unfathomable. The bombing of the Boston Marathon 1 week ago today seemed just as unthinkable. But now that the first successful attack on a major sporting event in the United States has happened, how will it change the way we approach large sports events in the future, in the U.S. as well as Pittsburgh? I'm joined now by our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak. His video blog is Sportsnet. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Well, it's going well, and it's good to talk to you. Where were you when the Boston Marathon was attacked?
Let's say I was home working, actually, yeah. And, you know, you get the little updates on the computer, turned on the TV, and just couldn't believe it. It's one of those days you're going to remember.
How does it change things?
Well, I think the world has changed from the 72 Olympics, obviously, because of the terrorists that have attacked America and the war on terrorists. It will heighten. I mean, security was heightened after 9/11 at the sporting venues, obviously, because there are places where people gather. I think it's going to just increase security at events like marathons and these group gatherings, which are much much more difficult to protect, as say opposed to a stadium.
The manhunt and the lockdown of the city made it a highly unusual day for the Penguins on Friday. They were in Boston to play the Bruins, a game that had been scheduled and was going to be played until the lockdown happened. Have you ever heard of a team being sequestered in that way and having their routine totally disrupted?
No, that's a first. But then again, this whole thing is we've seen a lot of firsts. The entire city of Boston was locked down. I mean, athletes are creatures of habit. You get up at a certain time, you go to the morning skate, you have a pregame meal, you have meetings, those kinds of things. So I'm sure it was quite a disruption to deal with. But you just have to be flexible when these kinds of things happen. And the Penguins were part of that scene. They wore the Boston Strong T-shirts and some of the ball caps in support of the Boston Police and beat the Bruins.
And Dan Bylsma, the coach of the Penguins, had an interesting comment about the nature of the game.
Yes, he said we weren't playing against Boston, we're playing with Boston. And I think that's, it's one of those things about sporting events. They bring people together, they're democratic with a small D, and the crowd is sort of like a village green. There's a bond there at those sporting events.
What about sports as a healing mechanism? It almost seemed to be a catharsis in Boston on Saturday. You had the rescheduled Penguins game. You had the Red Sox playing their first game at Fenway Park since the bombing last Monday. What about this as a vehicle, sports as a vehicle for releasing emotions and tension?
Right, and I think you saw some of that after 9/11, too, when everything was shut down and the games resumed. Part of every sporting event is the playing of the national anthem, and I think that's a bond that the crowd shares. The crowd in Boston, both the anthem that was played the Bruins' first game, and then when they played the Penguins, you could see everybody just get into it, and that was Penguins fans, Bruins fans, whatever. It's a way to release emotion in a positive way, and I think you saw people standing together as one.
Now, you also had a little bit of controversy when David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox was speaking to the crowd before the game, and he said he did not plan to say this, but what he went on to say in front of 40,000 people was, "This is our blanking city." The crowd really seemed to like it, but he was taken to task for that, and there was some concern that he might be fined by the FCC. That didn't happen, but what does that show? What do those comments by David Ortiz reflect?
I think Big Poppy was expressing some anger and outrage, and I think all of us have felt anger and outrage that something like this could happen. It was a spontaneous thing, and I think the crowd got behind him because they were thinking the same things, but he said it, and it might come a shock to a lot of people, but athletes do sometimes use blue language.
And if you put a microphone in front of them, there's a chance you're going to hear how they really feel.
Exactly. You can hear it during the games, in anything you listen to.
Bob Dvorak, our sports guy, is a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus. His video blog is Sportsnet. Check it out. Bob, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Paul, sure. Anytime.
I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again tomorrow with another edition of Essential Pittsburgh.